WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. My name is Arthur. It's the 10th of June, 2020. For the first half of the program, I'm going to play an episode of Fort Laramie titled The Massacre. This had an original air date of the 5th of August, 1956.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Is it White Dog's camp, sir?
It's Shoshone. That'd make it White Dog's, unless there's more of a Shoshone migration than we know about.
You can tell from here it's Shoshone?
Look at their huts down there, Mr. Seibert. It's made of grass and brush woven together, not skins like the Sioux and Cheyenne.
Doesn't look like there are any lodge poles.
There aren't. They don't have any roofs, any lodge poles, just a half circle of woven grass. Harrison!
Yes, sir?
Bring on the white flag, Harrison. You and I are riding in.
Yes, sir.
You'll keep the patrol up here, Mr. Syberts. Keep your eye on Harrison's flag. As long as he flies it, there's no trouble.
Yes, sir. White Dog will understand that you've just come to powwow with him.
Going in this way, he'll understand. Ready, Harrison?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Syberts. Watch it down through here, Harrison.
I'm watching.
Major said a couple of hundred Shoshone. Looks smaller than that to me, Harrison.
I'll eat every one over 100 we find, Captain.
I don't have your appetite, but 100's nearer right. Ah, they're beginning to notice us.
I'll lose all feeling in my arm if I hold this flag any higher.
Sooner the feeling than the arm, Harrison.
Yes, sir. Funny they wouldn't have no lookouts posted.
Well, either they're not expecting any trouble or they don't care. You, lead me to White Dog?
White Dog in council.
In his hut?
Why White Army come?
We come in peace, to powwow with White Dog.
Your flags say that.
Will you lead me to your chief?
He talk with Ninambia. I not talk to White Dog when he talk with Ninambia.
Just show me where he is.
You know Shoshone legend?
Yes, I know.
There. In small canyon out by stream. Follow it. You find White Dog.
You going up into that canyon, Captain Quince?
Yeah, you stay here and keep that flag in plain sight. Feel it in your arm or not.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't have any trouble, unless it bothers you to be outnumbered by squaws and kids.
Long's they're not mine, they don't fret me, Captain.
Who's White Dog talking to?
Ninambia. Little people. The Shoshone believe they live in mountain canyons. Their medicine men counsel with them.
They can see him?
They believe they can.
You see any of them, you tell me, Captain?
I see any. Might be something I'd want to keep to myself. Stand fast, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
Counsel too, Captain?
I need your counsel, White Dog.
Sit, my son. You ride from Fort Laramie today?
Yesterday.
You and your people must be tired, as my people are tired.
Your journey has been longer than ours, White Dog, and harder.
A journey is hard when a heart is heavy, Captain. We go to our home. This lightens our load.
You are moving your people without permission, White Dog.
Shoshone cannot live in country meant for Ute, Hopi, Apache, Paiute. We are not root eaters.
We know that. I think my people made a mistake putting Shoshone so far to the south in desert country.
No.
But you have left the reservation, White Dog.
You come to take us back?
No. No, we have come in peace.
And you find us in peace, Captain.
You have told me your people are tired, White Dog. Tired people, hungry people, sometimes break the peace.
Then you come to make us less tired? To feed us?
We have come to find out your needs and to arrange for your safe passage to your home in the Wind River Mountains.
Good. Ninambia told me of your coming. It was too much to believe. There is no trick.
You have always believed me before, White Dog.
You, yes.
How long have you made your camp here?
Two suns have risen since my people put their hut by the stream.
Is it a good camp? You have water? Is the hunting good?
My braves find game. Not buffalo, on which my people grow strong. They find bear, antelope, deer. In our camp, Captain, are many squaw, many papoose.
And not many braves.
Our number was more when we left Apache Reservation. But our journey was hot, dry. Now our burial ground is the length of these great mountains.
You have traveled too fast, White Dog.
Two enemies have pursued us. A blazing sun. And the fear that when the White Army came, it would not come in peace.
When your people reach the valleys of the Wind River, when they are home, they will continue to live in peace?
You have my word, my son.
And I give you mine. We will grant your safe passage to your home.
You will travel with us.
We will camp with you tonight. Tomorrow we will journey together to Fort Lyon. There will be orders waiting for us there.
You turning in, Captain?
Beautiful night, Mr. Seibertz. You write about nights like this in your journal?
How can you put the Rocky Mountains into a journal, sir?
It's kind of hard even to set them good in your mind and believe them. I never see him. I don't feel small, trifling.
Well, the sky that clear and the stars so bright. I'm sure it must all have a meaning.
There's meaning in tonight, all right. Down there by the stream in White Dog's camp, the old man's telling his people that we've come to take them home. That the Ninambia told them of our coming. There's peace in their hearts tonight, Mr. Seibertz. That has meaning.
I think it does. I think the men feel it too, sir.
White men, red men, bedding down under the same stars, nobody reaching for a rifle, nobody stealing up with an arrow. Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. And every time it isn't, I get blazing mad inside.
Are you a religious man, Captain?
I have things I believe, Mr. Syberts. This, tonight. Challenge of the mountains, peace of the stars, men living under them without fear. Guess that's pretty close to what I believe in.
It's a lot to believe, sir.
I believe something else, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
I've been working my jaw like an old woman must have used up a couple of years' words for me.
I was thinking I'll be able to put some of this night into my journal after all.
Night, Mr. Syberts.
Night, sir. That's just a coyote.
Just a coyote.
You act like it meant something, Captain.
Not to me. But the white dog and the Shoshone, the coyote is a trickster. You can count on it, Mr. Syberts. It'll mean something to the Shoshone.
We made council through the night, my son. My people will not follow white soldier.
I heard the coyote, white dog.
My people heard, and I heard. In the legend of the Shoshone, it was Coyote the trickster who changed the color of our skin. Shoshone's skin once was white, Captain.
You have told me.
In the story of creation, when the Creator first breathed life into tufts of grass, the people called Shoshone were born with skin white as snow.
Until one day, Coyote the trickster gave fruit to the white Shoshone woman. And since that day, the color of your skin has been brown.
And since that day, Captain, Shoshone has known fear of Coyote the trickster and men whose skin is white.
Yesterday, white dog, we spoke words of peace, you and I. We spoke of believing each other.
Yesterday, Coyote was silent.
But the Ninambia, you said they told you of our coming. You doubt the prophecy of the Ninambia?
My son, you find me here. I seek their counsel. Yesterday, they told of white leaders' friendship. Yesterday, you came in peace. Last night, Coyote warned. Today, Ninambia are silent.
White dog, you're a long way from home. I have orders to see you safely to your Wind River hunting grounds.
I have orders, too, from my people.
We camped together last night. If we had come to harm you, we could have made quick work of...
Last night, Coyote warned. My people listen.
You'd better counsel again with your people, white dog. In 1 hour, we're moving on to Fort Lyon. All of us.
My son. You will take us by force?
I don't want to.
Let us move our own way. Our belief is not your belief.
And yet, we both believe in peace.
You will keep peace if you go, leave us alone. My people will look on that as a mark of trust. My son, believe me. A sign that we have your respect, this will bring much goodwill, much peace.
I'll do this much, white dog. My patrol and I will report to Fort Lyon as ordered. I will powwow there with white chiefs. Tell them your wishes. If we do not return in 2 suns, you will know you are free to move in your own way.
Thank you, my son.
You'll need some sign that says you travel with the Army's permission. I will leave you with two flags, a white flag and an American flag. When you march, see your braves hold them high. When you make camp, fly them in full view above your huts.
We will accept the flags. A totem of trust between men. You will not be sorry, my son.
I hope neither of us will have cause to be sorry, White Dog.
Seem worried, Captain. Is it White Dog or the Major's orders to return to Fort Laramie?
I'm thinking, Mr. Syberts. Always look worried when I think.
You know, sir, I thought the commander at Fort Lyon was very cooperative. He seemed to agree with everything you told him about White Dog.
I'm not worried about him or White Dog or Major Daggett, but it's a long way to Wind River from here.
White Dog and his people are a long way from home. You figure him to be about 2 days behind us, sir?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, that'll be Harrison riding in, Captain. Must have come on to something.
Must have. Patrol! Halt!
Captain Quince, sir.
Yeah, what is it, Harrison?
Up ahead, sir, in the basin. Cavalry. Must be a full company of them.
They camped?
Well, more like they've just stopped for a while. No real camps, sir. No pickets out.
Wonder what company it is, sir.
Well, it's not from Fort Laramie or Fort Lyon. We'd know about them. Might be someone from Kansas or Nebraska. I'll ride on ahead with Harrison for a check. Move the patrol up after us.
Right, sir.
Let's go, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
He's still talking, Captain.
Talking, Harrison?
Like he was when I come on him. The tall one. And the rest listening. Must have a lot on his mind.
We'll leave our horses here. Walk on in.
Yes, sir.
And you hear the voice of God Almighty telling you, as he tells me, this is the glory road. God knows it is, brother. I call you brothers. You are my brothers.
Amen.
And we travel this road together. Amen. Not as a company of cavalry. Not as a commanding officer and trooper. But as brothers.
Amen.
Soldiers in the army of God Almighty.
Oh, God Almighty.
With just one supreme commander.
Amen.
So be it, brothers. So be it. And in the battles that are to come, we shall hear the voice together, you and I. We shall follow his orders to the death. And whosoever shall come between us and the voice shall perish, world without end.
Amen.
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 Amen, brothers.
Captain, is he a parson, that major?
Might be, Harrison, or maybe it's just like you said. He's got a lot on his mind.
You, Captain, do you pray?
I might.
Then pray now, brother. For the salvation of your soul and for those of your brothers.
You in command here, Major?
God is in command here, brother.
I'm Captain Quince, B Company out of Fort Laramie. My respects, Major.
Major Petrie, A Company, Fort Pierre.
You're a long way from Dakota country, sir.
I hope you're not questioning my right to be here, Captain.
I'm not questioning anything, but I'm interested in your being here. I take it you're not going on to Fort Lyon.
We shall go where our mission takes us.
At Fort Lyon, they think my patrol is the only cavalry between there and Fort Laramie.
You guard your territory jealously, Captain. A base emotion, jealousy. As base as suspicion. I shall pray for your deliverance.
I don't want you praying for me, Major.
Ignorance is sin, brother.
Ignorant, jealous, that may be. But suspicious I am. Of any man who talks about God and wears half a dozen scalps hanging from his belt.
I make a practice of reporting men who have no respect for rank, Captain.
My commanding officer is Major Daggett at Fort Laramie. I'd appreciate your reporting this incident, Major Petrie.
including the 6 scalps.
I'll welcome you in Dakota Territory any time, Captain. I'd say you have a lot to learn.
I was thinking the same about you, Major. We're at peace with the Indians in this part of the West.
Are you?
There's a band of Shoshone a couple days behind us. They have the army's leave to move to their home along the Wind River.
Our paths may not cross at all.
If they do, you'll find them flying 2 flags, a white one and the American flag. We've told them the flags will guarantee their protection.
We look differently on the American flag in Dakota Territory, Captain.
That's so, Major? Out here, it means liberty and justice for everyone. Come on, Harrison.
What kind of man is that, Captain?
The kind of man that scalps Indian women, Harrison.
Well, here's all the answer we can get out of Fort Pierre, Captain. Colonel says Major Petrie's on a reconnaissance mission.
Scalping Indian women's called reconnaissance nowadays, Major?
You want to read the telegram for yourself, Lee?
I don't need to. I know what I saw.
I know how you feel, Lee. We've got troubles enough without the army fighting itself.
Major, if you'd have seen his men, wild-eyed, frenzied, he was whipping them with his words. What words they were.
Oh, every officer has his way of stirring up his men.
Stirring them up for what? That's all I want to know. From the North Platte as far south as the Cimarron, the Indians are at peace.
I don't know what his aim was.
When you telegraphed Fort Pierre, did you ask the colonel if Major Petrie's a minister?
The answer's there, Captain. He's a self-ordained minister.
6 scalps, Major.
All right, all right. What do you want me to do? I had to call you back here. Captain Matheson's got 2 companies detained in the Black Hills. We've got a garrison to secure, Captain.
White Dog's 2 days late. If he was moving at all, he'd have been through here 2 days ago.
Maybe they're traveling a different route.
To get to Wind River?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know, except I can't spare a patrol right now.
You can spare me.
For what? What would you do?
Start back, look for White Dog.
Not alone, Lee.
All right, give me Harrison then.
Suppose you find White Dog and his people. They're not likely to feel any different. You offered them the protection of a patrol before.
They're not going to fear 2 men.
Maybe they're not. You feel responsible for them, don't you?
I gave them the flags, Major.
Now, we don't know that they had need for any other protection.
They're 2 days late.
All right, Lee. You and Harrison.
Thank you, Major.
I'm not finished. When you find White Dog, I want you to make this clear to him. When he's off the reservation, he's entitled to Army protection. And by heaven, next time he'll accept an Army patrol, whether a coyote howls or not.
I'll tell him, sir.
I want to be just, Lee. I want to treat Indians fairly, civilly. But when their superstitions get in the way, I lose patience with them.
I feel the same way, Major.
I'm glad to hear that.
About an Indian superstition and a white man's fanaticism. Blind spots don't have a color, Major.
And I don't mind telling you, Captain, gave me a turn at first, seeing them come straggling up and make the camp right there on our creek.
They didn't bother you?
No bother at all, excepting just that they was there, and they was Indians. It don't make a man feel real comfortable. My woman now, she just let out one long war whoop and made for the fruit cellar. Like never got her out of there.
She feeling better about it now?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, we got so we just sat by and watched them. They was cooking, cleaning their young in the creek. Never made a move toward us, nor us toward them. Well, now, I got to be honest about one thing.
What's that?
I said we just sat by and watched. That ain't the whole truth. My woman turned her head more than one time. Them braves don't wear much more than they're born with, do they?
Not much, mister.
Yeah. Well, sir, the sight to end them all for me was when they first come in. Now, right away, they run up them flags as high as they could. I tell you, Captain, that flag looks mighty good, no matter who's flying it.
You say they left here day before yesterday?
Now, let's see. Yes, sir, I'm sure of it.
Heading north?
North along the creek.
Well, thanks very much, mister. We must have passed their camp during the night, Harrison.
Don't seem like we could have, Captain.
Well, it doesn't.
Is it just the two of you after them this time?
This time, mister?
Yes. Now, yesterday, there was lots more troopers. And the major who talked to me, I think he said it was a major. Well, anyways, he asked the same kind of questions. Only
what?
Only when I told him about the Indians, he didn't smile the way you did, kind-like. This major, he didn't smile at all.
Let's go, Harrison. What kind of a lunatic are you?
You're still in need of prayer, brother.
You're rotten, foul, evil.
You came upon the Shoshone camp?
I never saw such a slaughter. Old men, old women, babies. Why? Why?
My report will say that we were attacked, Captain.
How many men did you lose, Major?
Oh, we were very lucky.
And all the attackers were killed. Do you like it, Major, killing women and children?
You'll get court-martialed for this.
An investigating party should be at Owl Creek by now. We'll see who gets the court-martial.
For killing Indians?
They'll find the flags waving high over 100 cut-up bodies. They'll find the rifles that were never fired. And there's no mistaking the fresh scalps around here.
You call yourself a white man? Indian lover? Well, I've no time for your kind. Women and children, yes. Nits make lice. An Indian that never grows up is a good Indian. Because he's a dead Indian. And a dead squaw can't bear any more papooses. Not a solitary one.
The killing's just begun. The Indians you haven't killed will massacre innocent whites because of you. Savages answering savages. But your killing's the worst kind. Killing in the name of God.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Lawrence Dobkin, Sam Edwards, Lou Krugman, and Tim Graham. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
That was episode 28 of Fort Laramie, with an original air date of the 5th of August, 1956, titled The Massacre. The producer, Norman MacDonald, insisted on historical accuracy in his plots and sound, even though it's a fictitious story. I thought it was pertinent to the times, so I'm going to go ahead and fulfill an FCC obligation before we continue into the second act of the Grand Hour. My name is Arthur. This is a pre-recorded show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and or WMFO.org.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In the second half of the Grand Hour, I'm going to play a genre and show I have never played before. It's episode 12 of Dimension X, titled Destination Moon, that had an original air date of the 24th of June, 1950.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension
has always dreamed of conquering the barrier of the atmosphere. The problem is on the drawing boards of aeronautical engineers and atomic physicists. They can calculate the power needed, the trajectories, and the equipment. On the sound stages of Hollywood, the engineers and special effects men have combined to bring that day to life, the day when the first rocket leaves Earth for outer space. Now a radio play taken from the advanced screenplay of the George Pal Technicolor production, Destination Moon. On the vast concrete strip at Dry Wells, Texas, the form of the rocket towers above the cranes, the loading machinery, and the scuttling trucks and jeeps. The fuel lines snake across the concrete to the rocket. It's Destination Moon. A small pursuit plane circles in for a landing on the runway, turns and taxis toward the prefab buildings at the edge of the strip.
Here comes General Thayer. Got those reports, Dr. Cargrave?
All ready, Barnes.
Well, you made good time. Hi there, General. Over here.
Barnes, I've got to talk to you.
Well, you just made it, General. Everything's running smooth as a clock. We ground test in 20 minutes.
Come on over to the office.
What's the matter?
Come on, Barnes.
Something happened in Washington?
Something always happens in Washington.
Let's have it straight, General.
Our application for a test license was denied.
Denied?
I'll quote. In the opinion of the commission, should the engine fail structurally, the dispersal of radioactive material would mean danger to the surrounding area.
But we've evacuated the blast
no
area.
No use, Barnes. The commission is pretty sensitive about public opinion. The Galavan newspaper chain has been after our scalp. They got mine anyway.
What do you mean?
I've been retired.
Retired?
You got a job for an ex-general? Pretty handy with a lug wrench.
I can't do that. Where would the Air Force be if you hadn't kicked them into using the Jespool jet engine on pursuits?
It's not as simple as all that. One-star generals can't go into the Department of Defense and pound desks. I did.
Some of those old mossbacks would still be using horse cavalry if they could get away with it. Now, this ship will work. I know. I built it.
I don't suppose we'll ever know. The mission won't reverse itself.
Wait a minute. Cargraves, ship's all ready, isn't it?
Except for minor installations, yes.
General, I've been building and flying ships by the seat of my pants since they had piano wire between the wings. Now, this baby either works the first time, or she doesn't.
What do you mean, Bond?
The commission refused permission to ground test, right?
Yeah.
All right. We won't ground test. Cargraves, what's the next astronomical optimum?
3:47 tomorrow morning.
We'd better get busy then. You've got just 17 hours to get that ship ready. And then we take off for the moon.
Hey, Brownie.
What do you want, Sweeney?
What color is the skin temperature lead wire on the chart?
Orange with a black stripe.
This stuff looks like insulated macaroni. I got it.
Hurry up, will you? We're running behind.
What's your rush? You're going along on this clam bake, aren't you? Can't you wait to break your neck?
Hey, look out for the starter. Come on, move. We got to take off before somebody slaps a writ on us.
Brownie, you ready going?
Sure.
Bates me. What do you want to go to the moon for?
To see what's on the other side.
Ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer. What's the separation rate positively?
Red and white spiral. Oh.
What's the matter?
I'm not gonna bellyache.
Eating green apples?
No, I'm all right. Come on, Sweeney, get busy. We've got 2 hours left to patch this mess together.
Mr. Barnes.
What is it, Sweeney?
It's Brown. They just took him to the hospital.
They what? Well, is he all right?
He will be after they cut out his appendix.
There goes our radio man.
But there's no chance of finding a substitute?
No, it's special equipment. Brown installed it himself. I've got it. Barnes here. What?
Well, we'll have to delay the check of a month.
Okay, goodbye. We can't, General. That was Hastings at Dry Wells. There's a United States Marshal driving over. Something leaked, and he's got a court order forbidding the takeoff.
We were so close.
Yeah. $1 million gone up the flue.
You want me to give a standby, Mr. Bond?
I suppose. Wait a minute. Sweeney.
Yeah?
You installed that communication equipment with Brown, didn't you?
Yeah, but...
Then you must know the operation. You could go in Brown's place.
The moon? Oh, no, not me. It's an important project, Sweeney. The scientific advance...
There's the military aspect, Sweeney.
I had 4 years of the military aspect, General. That's enough.
Afraid?
You're darn certain.
That ship is safe.
Maybe, maybe not.
But, Sweeney...
Look, you guys aren't going to get anywhere pressuring me. Maybe you got reasons to go to the moon. You, Mr. Barnes, you got $1 million tied up in the ship. It's your scientific baby, Doc, and the General's out on a limb in Washington. What's in it for me?
Now, that's no way to talk, Sweeney. It's an important advance for the whole world.
You'll pardon the expression, baloney.
Sweeney.
I work on a scientific theory, too, General. Hooray for me, you look out for yourself. I ain't going.
I don't like to say this, but this isn't the time to consider yourself, Sweeney. This country's defense hangs on being the first to develop space travel.
Somebody else, not me. There's nothing I want on the moon.
All right, we'll take care of that. Sweeney, I'll offer you $10,000 bonus... and a 10% royalty on the ship patents out of my cut.
Barnes.
It's no use to me unless we get off before that marshal gets here from Dry Wells. Well, Sweeney, you'd be rich enough to retire. You could take it easy the rest of your life.
Well, now you're talking my language, Mr. Barnes. Okay. When do we leave?
Said Hastings.
Right. I'll be tracking you from control center. Hey, what's the car doing? He's coming right out on the field.
Marshal, Doc, General Sweeney, inside.
Hey! Hey, Barnes!
Button her up.
Hey! Hey there, commander of that ship. I've got a court order. You can't take off.
Stop, mister.
You can't do this. Hey!
Save your knuckles, fella. You couldn't get in that ship with a blowtorch.
Barnes can't do this.
Suppose you tell him all about it when he gets back from the moon.
Sweeney, warm up your communication circuits.
Yes, sir. Calling traffic, Shaq.
Get a clearance check.
There was a clearance, traffic. Over.
All clear. Dry Wells is ready for tracking. Over.
Power.
Power ready.
Communications?
Yeah.
Co-pilot, automatic's ready. Give the warning signal. Give me a time check on the computer.
03-47-58.
Stand by for count-off and firing.
Stand by for count-off and firing.
Roger.
For check. 2-48. 10.
Check.
Coming up 30 seconds.
29. 28.
I'll lie back on the acceleration couches. Worst pressures will be over in 4 minutes.
Five.
Barnes. General,
I don't like having a man along who isn't with us.
Sweeney, it's too late now.
Make it pretty tough. If he's half-hearted,
we'll
now.
Worry about that later.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, fire.
What happened? Noise. All gone.
At speed of sound. Switch on televiewer aft.
I can't. Can't move. Pressure. Switch is right under your finger. Go on. That's it.
Time. 3:50. 12. Altitude, 2 miles.
Get your scent goggles on. It'll be coming through in a minute.
There's the dawn line.
And the sun.
It works. This thing really works.
Now, look in the viewer. There's the earth down there.
Yeah. Time, 3:51, 10. Altitude, 20 miles. Time, 3:53, 50. Altitude, 807 miles.
That's the end of the blast. We're in free fall. Unbuckle your straps.
Hey, I'm falling. I'm falling up.
There's no gravity up here. We don't weigh anything.
I don't feel so good. How do I get down from the ceiling? I feel lousy. Seasick.
No, space sick.
What's the difference as long as I ain't healthy?
There's a bottle of pills under the head pad. They ought to settle your stomach. I'll break out the magnetic shoes. Then we can at least keep our feet down on the floor plates. Here, Sweeney, you put these on.
Hand them up.
All right. Here. Now you can walk down the wall. Try it.
Like this? Hey, like a human fly. You know, this is the second time I ever walked on a ceiling. Only this time I'm sober. Hey, General. Would you mind tapping that ham sandwich back and float it away from me?
Feeling better, Sweeney?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a heck of a note when your meal floats away from me before you eat it.
Sweeney?
Yeah, Mr. Bronson.
I tried to crank out the radar antenna. She's stuck.
Well, let me see. Stuck all right. I don't understand it. I greased it good.
Grease? Well, no wonder it's stuck. It's exposed to outer space. It must be frozen solid.
What's the idea, Sweeney? Didn't you read the engineering manual?
Yeah, and a flush fitting gets greased. Don't jump on me.
Well, if we can't get that radar mask cranked out, we can't land on the moon.
Well, it's all right by me.
Don't you realize that half the value of this trip is in the landing? Geological surveys, radiation tests.
Look, General, I told you before I started, this whole thing is slug nutty to me. Who wants the moon? For trying to be first through the old Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Sweeney, this isn't getting that mask fixed. Well, we've got to go outside in spacesuits and chip it loose.
Outside? You mean outside the ship?
You can't fall. You'll be in the same trajectory as the ship. Worst that could happen would be to drift away.
Drift away? Don't bother getting one of them monkey suits for me. I'm comfortable in here.
Sweeney, we've taken enough from you. We can't let one man endanger the whole project. You get out there in a spacesuit, or we shove you out without one.
All right.
Well, that's settled. You got us into this mess. You're going to help get us out. General, break out the spacesuit. Close the interlock. Now, let's get this straight. Keep your magnetic shoes on the hull plates. Your safety line's hooked. If you break loose, we won't be able to go after you. You'll hit the moon at 20,000 miles per hour and squash.
Hey, wait a minute. How come General Thayer don't go?
That's right. He doesn't go. He's co-pilot.
Okay. I just asked.
All right. Now, let's make sure our intercom walkie-talkies are warmed up.
All set. Check.
All right. Fasten helmets.
Hello, Doc.
I hear you, Barnes.
I'm okay.
Check instruments. Open up about the lock. Open the outer door, Doc.
Look at that. What is?
A million stars.
20,000 miles an hour, free fall, and no breeze.
That's right. No air. And we haven't got time for the scenery. Let's get to work.
Can you two handle it? I want to go aft to see how the firing tubes held up.
All right, Doc. Come on, Sweeney. Let's get to work.
Slippery as a hog on ice.
Yeah. Well, let's get back.
Suits me.
That's the ice up there?
Western Hemisphere. You can see America. That dark strip against the light.
Pretty far away, huh?
Barnes.
Sorry, Greg. What's the matter?
Help, I'm loose. I'm drifting.
Help, what happened?
My shoe magnet's pulled loose.
There he is. The safety line broke.
Harry, help.
He's too far to keep alive.
Oh, he's cooked. We'll never get him back.
Hello, General Thayer.
All right, Barnes. I heard you on the control room speaker. I'm coming outside.
Bring an oxygen tank. Got that?
All right.
Hurry.
What are you going to do? Throw him a bottle of air and forget about him?
Barnes, help.
Now, all right, Doc. General Thayer's coming out of the lock.
Where's Cargrave?
50 feet out and down that left. Give me that oxygen tank.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to hook my shoes first.
You're crazy. You'll float away, too.
I can use the pressure in the oxygen tank for a jet. Maybe I can ride the tank out there if there's enough power from the nozzle. Just turn the bell. There.
What was that?
Recoil's making my helmet bike shake. I'll try it again.
Hey, it works. I got out for one motor.
Keep going, Bond. About 30 feet more. Swing a little to the left.
All right. A couple more shots. There. Now, reach out for me, Doc.
You're too far. I can't.
Hang on, Doc. One more shot.
Hang on. Can
you get back, Bob? If we don't, we tour the universe together. Hang on to me, Doc.
All right.
You wait, Miss Bond. I turn the bell.
You're drifting farther, Bob.
There better be enough pressure to get us back. Here we go.
Oh, we're moving.
Yes, it's not fast enough. Pressure's almost down in this tank. There's the last of the gas.
We're too far out, Barnes. They can't reach us with a line.
Get you back to the ship. On the count of three, push the tank as hard as you can. The reaction may shove us in close enough.
Yeah.
Ready? One, two, three.
Here they come, General.
Grab them. Reach out, Bond. Grab the line.
I got it.
All in.
Thank God.
Well, glad to have you aboard.
There she is. Come on.
Stand by for landing procedure.
That's pretty rugged country down there.
Stand by to turn ship. Fasten straps. Altitude fair.
27.3.
All right. Turning ship.
Hey. Hey, you're leveling off. You're turning too far. We're going backwards.
We land backwards. Use the jets for brakes.
Holy smokes. You mean sit down on a tail?
Ground speed 1.52. Stand by for deceleration. Now,
fire.
Radar.
Closing is spotted.
Give me view aft on the screen.
Hey, we can't land down there. Look, mountains, cliffs.
That's the crater Harpalus. We're heading for a smooth plane short of there.
Don't look smooth to me.
I'm going to kill our forward speed. Stand by.
You won't clear the mountains. Give another blast.
I can't. We won't have enough power to get home.
You won't make that cliff on the right.
Look out. We're going to crash.
Barnes, blast.
You've got right. Automatic landing.
Automatic in.
Hang on for emergency landing. Stand by for the blast. Hold it. Now. Jack's down. Get out your gyros.
That was a lousy landing.
It aren't safe.
Yes, but I wasted reaction mass we'll need to get home.
We'll worry about that later. Right now, I want to get out there and plant my feet on the moon. The moon.
Ready to open the decompression lock?
Check.
I'm set.
And Yaris inside control, Barnes?
Yeah.
Sure you don't want to leave the ship?
I'll be out later. I've got to contact Earth.
All right, let's go. Open the outer door.
All right, be sure you don't fall. You puncture your suits on the rocks, you're done. And look out for the low gravity. You'll weigh 1/6 what you did on Earth.
All right, let's go.
Hey, what is this stuff? Dust?
Pollen, rock. Go ahead, Doctor. Claim it officially.
Oh, yes. In the name of the United States of America, I take possession of the planet Moon, of and for the benefit of mankind. Well, let's now get down to business. Sweetie, you set up the astronomical camera. Care.
Bond, what's the matter?
Get back here, all of you, right away.
We're just starting work.
You've got to get back. I've been talking to Earth. We may not get off. We may be stuck on the moon for good.
reaction mass down to 0.8672. Wasted power in a bad landing. Request new figures for return trip.
Earth to Luna. Looks bad, Mr. Blind. I'll have to run it through the machine. In the meantime, dump everything you can. I'll check back with the result.
I'll be standing by. Roger. Out.
Well, Barnes?
Well, we wasted too much power on that lousy landing. Hastings, check the figures. We've got the lightened ship. We've got just 4 hours to get off. If we miss that, we don't get another chance to hit the Earth for another month.
But we don't have more than 10 days' oxygen supply.
Exactly. Come on, we better start dumping, and we better pray we can get rid of enough weight. Acceleration pad 4, serial 706, schedule B, 14 pounds.
Check. Give me a hand, Doc.
Yes.
Airlock's full. I put my helmet on and shove the junk out of the lock.
Barnes, is that everything we can get out?
Three of the spacesuits will be dropped before we take off.
How about the fourth?
We'll have to keep that so we can open the airlock to shove the others out.
I've got a removable bridge I could dump.
You may have to, General. Well, Hastings is due back now with the takeoff figures. Hello, hello, Earth. Luna calling Earth.
All right, Mr. Barnes. We hear you. How much weight have you dropped?
4,003 pounds, Earth weight.
Then you're still short 110 pounds.
What?
If you can dump 110 pounds, you can coast home.
Well, we're stripped. We unbolted the locker doors, junked the radar chassis and mounts. We'll have to take a chance as we are.
It's suicide. You haven't enough reaction mass to clear the moon.
You could be wrong, couldn't you?
I could, but not the computer. I'll be standing by, Mr. Barnes. Over.
All right, Hastings. Out. 110 lousy pounds.
What happens if we're not light enough?
We fall back and crash. Or just go into an orbit around the moon.
Just keep going around?
Yeah, that's it. We've got 14 minutes left till takeoff time.
Oh, that's fine. I could have gone over Niagara Falls in a barrel, but I had to come to the moon.
Well, it's pretty simple. 110 pounds. One of us stays. Yes. I guess that's it.
I weigh 180. That's plenty.
Now, wait a minute, General.
I'm the oldest one here.
Yeah, and I'm the captain of this ship. If anyone stays, I give the orders here. Doc is the engineer, general pilot when you hit the Earth atmosphere.
But, Barnes... I've got no family, so I stay.
No. You've got to go back, both of you. I've been discredited. They won't listen to me. You've got to tell them what you've seen.
Listen,
here.
General,
You've got to tell them what the Earth looked like from here. Vulnerable, defenseless, hanging in the sky. I knew this trip would have military value. Well, it does. Can you imagine atom warheads launched at Earth from up here? The moon is the perfect base for an attack on the Earth. Remember, it's only 1/6 as hard to shoot rockets from here to Earth as it is the other way. You've got to tell them the only government to control the moon must be a world government.
General, I guess you don't know it. But what you just said means you've got to get back to Earth and convince them even if the rest of us don't make it.
Barnes, don't be...
No, General, that's all there is to it.
Now listen, Mr. Barnes, General.
Never mind, Sweeney, you're not in
on it. Don't worry, you'll get back.
I was going to say, why don't you heroes match for it? Odd man's out.
All right, Barnes, I'll go for that.
I'm in.
No.
2-1, Barnes.
Well, all right. What do we use?
You can match buttons off your overalls.
All right. Each one pull off a button. I better check Hastings on Earth.
Here's my button. Cogray.
Hello, Earth.
Standing by, Mr. Barnes.
We're working it out. One of us stays behind.
What?
We're matching for it. Check time.
Well, it's only 110 pounds. Isn't that some...
Check time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the program Dimension X for just a moment for two important bulletins from the wires of United Press. From Seoul, Korea, the North Korean radio says the North Korean Communist government formally declared war on South Korea effective at 11 a.m. Sunday, Korean time. And then a little later, this bulletin from Washington. State Department officials say they will hold Russia responsible for the North Korean attack against the independent South Korean Republic, which this country and the United Nations brought into being and have supported. We now return to the program Dimension X.
Yes, sir. 9:41:50. 10 minutes to zero hour.
Check. That's all, Hastings. We'll take off with three men. All right. Ready to match?
Hey, what? The airlock.
Sweeney, he went out. What's he doing?
What? He's going out. Out there on the moon.
Shine on, shine on,
Harvey. Hello, Sweeney.
Yeah, sure, boss. Hiya.
Well, come back. Come back in here, you fool.
Lord, it's nice out here.
Come back, Winnie. You're going home.
Yeah, some other time. Remember the girls? Honey girls.
Listen, Sweeney, come back. This trip doesn't mean that much to you. We've talked you into it. Nobody can expect you to do this. I don't be crazy.
Why not? I'm a lunatic. Get it? A lunatic.
Sweeney, come back.
Listen, I lighten your shift. Get it? 160 pounds. That's me. Now go on. Take off.
Come back, Sweeney. You can't do this.
Listen, you guys wouldn't count me in on the matching. Oh, no. I run out, hooray for me, and you look out for yourself. Well, maybe you change my mind. I've been looking up there at that earth hanging in the sky. We're going to build something on this moon. All of you guys got to go back. Doc, he's the guy to work it out in the lab. Bonds, you build the ships. And the general, he's got to pound those desks and see that he gets done right. You don't need me.
Now, Sweeney, wait a minute. Come back.
Go on, go on, Blog. Get gone. You're spoiling my whole day. So long, hero.
You don't understand. We can take off, all of us.
What do you mean? With 110 pounds.
Now, listen, do what I say. Get back in here, and on the way, pick up a screwdriver, a rat tail file, and an oxygen tank.
What's the deal?
Get back in here. I've got a way to get us all off, if it works.
Now, Queenie, we're reading you clear on the intercom speaker. You in the airlock yet?
Yeah.
Now, your spacesuit weighs around 70 pounds. Radio weighs 50.
Yeah, but I can't open the outside door of the airlock without my suit. What are you trying to pull, Bonds?
After you chuck the radio out, you file a hole in the gasket on the outer door. Got that? Then you tie your safety line to the oxygen tank, pass it through the hole. It hangs outside. You got that?
Yeah.
Then you close the outside door, get out of your suit, come in here. We close up, decompress, and open the outside door again.
All right, get it. The tank pulls us so out of the lock.
Right. And if it works, we all get home. Now, hurry now, Sweeney.
8 minutes to calculated takeoff time. 8 minutes. Two minutes.
All set, Sweeney?
Yeah. Shut the radio out. Close the outer door. They'll push her up. I'm getting out of a suit. This doorway's pretty narrow, Bonds. If the suit don't clear, we're sunk.
We'll have to take that chance.
All right. Here I come.
All set.
Close the inner door. Decompress. Now the outer door.
It ain't moving. I can see it through the port. Coming up 1 minute. 1 minute to take off.
Foot of the suit caught on the intake.
No. It's flattened out. Get clear of that door, brother. Get clear. There it goes. We're in. 40 seconds.
Close the outer door, Sweeney. Stand for takeoff, everybody.
30 seconds. 29.
Sweeney, I...
28.
I don't think I could have done that.
26.
Just walk out.
Oh, baloney.
I haven't got that kind of courage.
23.
I'd have had to make a speech. 22. A big heroic speech.
20. 19.
I didn't have the guts 18, to just walk out.
17.
Not...
16.
All right, 15, stand by.
14.
Communications?
13, fine. Just 12, Andy.
Co-pilot. 11, automatic set. 10,
9.
Stand by.
8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2.
Fire.
All right, we're clear.
Son of a gun.
We're clear. We're heading home.
Time. 2:50. 36. Destination. Earth.
Was episode 12 of Dimension X, titled Destination Moon, with an original air date of the 24th of June, 1950. You can listen to Arthur here on the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. This show has been previously recorded.